Good morning, everybody.
We get an anonymous sponsorship to fill in the rest, so thank you for not.
Okay. As Rabbi said, I'm going to be speaking about Shemitah. I structured my thing to speak about a person eating in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah. Lots of it is going to be relevant to people who never make it to Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah also, but that's just the way I set it up. I'm not thinking about any of you if you own an apartment there, or if you think about doing work on the ground over there. That's like not what we're talking about today. We're not going to talk about the things that do at the end of Shemitah, which that you'll hear about from the rabbi at the end of the year, about making a prosbul and an esrog for Shemitah. Those are also different kinds of things. We're talking about really focusing on just on food type things. Now, the first thing you're going to say to me is, I say to you, you have to think about how you're going to eat in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah. You say, what's the problem? I only eat things with hashgacha anyhow. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, fruits and vegetables always have problems with trumas and maishas. So I'm easy, no problem. I'm only eating things with a good hashgacha, so easy, life is simple. No, I'm not going to tell you about that's not my job, to tell you about hashgacha. And in fact, if you were here locally, that would work. Seriously, you get hashgacha on Sirius 10th. All the stuff that we watch out for, the Shemitah things also. On TED, their fruits and vegetables are also, we keep an eye on what's coming from Eretz Yisrael, either for Trumas or Mises or for Shemitah. But in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to find out it's not so simple. Okay, even the food that has hashgacha, and even has a reputable hashgacha, we're going to find out that things get a little bit more complicated when it comes to Shemitah. It gets complicated because of different shitas, okay, and the reputable hashgachas take different positions on shitas that I'm going to talk to you about. And even if they gave hashgach on it, you may all of a sudden, it may not be, so to speak, as easy as you think. Okay, so I'm going to tell you first some basic information about Shemitah, and then we're going to move into the details of this, of these different issues. Okay, the first is, the most restrictive part for us of Shemitah is that there's a halacha called svichen. Svichen means anything that gets planted every year. Think about vegetables and grains, things that you have to plant, replant every single year. The Chacham said, if that grows by itself, even if it grows by itself, you're not allowed to eat it. They were concerned that people would go ahead and plant things. They would go ahead and plant cucumbers and say, yeah, they just grew by themselves. There's just some seeds fell on the ground. So the Chacham said, all svichen are usher. So all vegetables and all grains that grow during Shemitah are all of a sudden, are automatically not allowed to eat. Okay, as opposed to fruits, they don't get replanted every year. The oranges just grow by themselves. So those, we'll find out what you do with those. But any of the vegetable or grain, it's all automatically, it's usher. So that means, I mean, think about all the food you eat. Think about what's on your plate. Half that stuff that's on there is stuff that would automatically be usher no matter what.
So any GMO product?
No, it has to do with GMO. It has to do with something you plant.
It has to be replanted every year, even though that type of grain.
Okay, I'm not sure why non-GMO also has to be replanted every year. Everything gets replanted every year. Tomatoes don't grow back the next year. You have to replant them every single year. And grain, wheat, doesn't grow back. You have to replant it every single year. Anything like that has to be replanted from year to year is in this rule called sphere. Okay, now, then the other half of that is that even the things that we can have from the sweeters, like in the fruits, that they grow, they don't have this rule of svichen, they have something called kedusha shvias. In brief, I'll tell you, because we're going to get back to it later, in brief, that means is you can't take those foods out of Eretz Yisrael. You can't buy and sell them like in business like you would buy like in regular items. You can't waste them, and you can't use them for certain non-typical uses. Okay, so all of a sudden, the orange, which is a Shemitah orange, which is perfectly fine, it's kosher, you can eat it, but you want to have extra on it, you can eat it, but it has kedusha shvias. We have to use it in certain ways, which I'm going to talk to you about, as if we, time permitting, we're going to get to what it means to eat it with kedusha shvias. Okay? So just to understand a little more detail about these things is, the way the times work is as follows. For grains and vegetables, they're considered Shemitah produce based on when they were harvested. So anything that's been harvested from this past Rosh Hashanah, like today, right now, the cucumbers in the market were harvested during Shemitah, it makes no difference when they were planted. They were harvested during Shemitah. Those are considered Shemitah cucumbers. For grains, that's for vegetables. For grains and fruits, it goes by when they reach a certain stage of growth. Okay, but the stage is not important. The point is, those are not going to be Shemitah produce till later in the year, till like the end of the winter, until next year. Okay, so right now, if you go buy an orange from Eretz Yisrael, it's not a Shemitah orange. Okay, that's not a Shemitah orange. It's a sixth-year orange. If you buy it in 6 months from now, you buy it in a year from now, then it will be a Shemitah orange. And that's why the Esrogim, correct, the Esrogim will be from next year, because those are the ones that they reach that stage of growth during this year and for next year. And then one thing we'll see in a couple of years from now, there's wines that are made from Shemitah grapes. So the grapes are the ones that are going to be harvested in, I don't know, 8-10 months from now. And they won't turn into wine until, I don't know, 6 months, a year after that. And then they'll come to America as wine from Shemitah, which is, it's not this, you know, it'll take some time till we get it. Okay, the things that have Kedusha Shvius include anything that's suitable for humans or animals to eat. Okay, not just food that we eat, and we'll see the examples of that when I get to it. Foods of humans or animals, not medicinal type things. Okay? And it also includes certain kinds of flowers and herbs. Okay, the simplest ones it includes are what we think of as herbs, like spices, things that you actually eat. You eat the spice itself. Think rosemary. Okay, Herzl is a big exporter of spices. It happens to be so herbs and spices. Those things that you actually eat them. Those are for sure included. Yerushalmi has a suffix. What happens if you have flowers that are meant for fragrance? Think of orchids. Okay, they're meant for their fragrance. There's a shayla in the Yerushalmi where machmir on that shayla and say that if it's meant for fragrance, it's also considered to have to be shemitah produce.
So like a rose.
So roses are not meant for fragrance. Roses are meant for their beauty, and they incidentally have fragrance. Okay, we could juggle which ones are which. Okay, depends on which one it is. I believe if I remember correctly.
Orchids are tantamount to fragrance.
So part of why you think that is, I'm not a florist, but from what I understand from florists is part of why you think that is because we're used to American flowers. Okay, but Eretz Yisrael and Holland are big exporters of high-quality flowers, and there they're meant for their fragrance. That's my understanding. I'm not a florist.
Is that subjective, or is it like facts? Like I'm buying.
Yeah, it depends on what you buy it for. If people buy this flower because they like how it looks, then we assume it does not have Kedusha Shvius. But if they buy it for the fragrance that it has, and they buy it because you want it to give a good smell to it, if you go to a florist, which is what we did. I haven't done this yet this week, the last week. They say to them, tell me, explain to me. And they say to you, these we put out because we like how they smell. That's why we put them out into the bouquet. And these, they just look nice. Okay? So then, depending on if it has fragrance, it could also be included. Okay? Just as an aside, you should know that for fruits and vegetables, at least in Illinois, I don't know if it's every place, but at least in Illinois, you're required to put on the country of origin. If you look at the fruits, you'll see there's little markings or flares or whatever. You don't have to do that for flowers. The florist will know where it comes from. But for fruits and vegetables, it's easier to pick them out which ones come from Eretz Yisrael than a flower. Okay. Okay, so now, I'm going to...
Are there actually fruits and vegetables that come from Eretz Yisrael?
Yes. Yes. There's lots of fruits and vegetables. As I mentioned, herbs and carrots and peppers and persimmons, all kinds of things that come at different times. Now, it's worse during Shemitah than other years. And the reason is because during Shemitah, if you make grow vegetables in Eretz Yisrael, lots of people won't eat them because we'll find out because they won't consider it kosher in Eretz Yisrael because it was grown during Shemitah. So what are they going to do with it? So they export it. So export is a way to get rid of stuff that the local market won't eat. I mean, some export is just because they have lots of it or whatever business reason. But also when no one wants to buy it, then you do have more exporting. So there's more exporting issues.
Do you happen to know which fruit and vegetable stores are more of an issue that they buy more produce from Eretz Yisrael?
No, I don't. It's a market. Literally, they go every day down to the market and buy what's available. You know? So I know that in Ted's, they keep an eye. They're sensitive to the fact that we want to know if this stuff from Eretz Yisrael. So from Shemitah, we do what we have to do, and from regular years, not for sure so much. It's a market thing. You walk in and say that tomatoes are cheaper here or from here, or more quality, or whatever they're looking for, then that's what they buy.
So actually,
No, so in Ted, we're giving hashkach on it, on the fruits and vegetables, not on whether they have bugs on it, and not on the chas, you quite literally chas in there.
But
right, we keep an eye on it. And actually, last Shemitah in City Fresh, they had the same thing. 10 people knew it for a few years. Last Shemitah in City Fresh also kept an eye on it. That was fine. So we just make sure.
It's like 2 years that actually has to be concerned with it. Because this year you have to be worried about vegetables. Next year you have to worry about fruit.
That's 100, you're correct. But in Ted, this has been going on for a few years. And it's for Chumashemites also. Rabbi Eisenbach was just marked for Chumash. I think it was on dates that they got him from them. I don't remember where they got it from. And the herbs, I'm not talking about the loose herbs that you see. Those are probably not commercial. I've seen them in like little packages, like fresh herbs, like a quality product.
I mean, they're not getting anything from Eretz Yisrael.
Who is?
Ted's.
They are. Rabbi Eichhoffer just modified Shmita from something.
I'm saying, but now I'm saying.
From now, not Shmita police. Right. But like, if they were getting oranges today, we would let them get them. We'd be modified Shmita to my
sister,
and then we would tell them. We wouldn't, but if they got any cucumbers. They have not. No, if they come to us, we'll do it for them. It's not like we're
really
refusing. What? If not every day of the week you're going to find this, but it happens. If you just walk into the store and you don't have any reason, no, I wouldn't be worried about it. But you can just keep your eyes open. It says on, it's on the sign. It says where it comes from. It says Guatemala. You're good.
Sure.
It says Eretz Yisrael. Then you have to think about, okay, I have to be Mafesh Shlomo's Meisus. I have to think about Arla. I have to think about...
If you make a Chazal that there's no sign that it's not from Eretz Yisrael.
Because by law, that's how it is. By law,
yes,
legally, at least here in Illinois, it has to say what comes from.
Jewel is also fine, right? It's under Hashkacha.
Jewel's fruit and vegetables is not under Hashkacha.
It's not.
No, Jewel, the only parts under Hashkacha and Jewel are very specific parts, like the deli, the fish, there's very specific parts.
The produce, they're not going out to the market. The produce, where do you think they get it from?
No, they go to the market. Of course they go to the market. That's how you get fruits and vegetables. You don't get them from Texas. They go,
No.
I don't know what the rules are as well.
And also rams.
They have the waters. Probably not.
They don't like it. They probably grow.
They have the water spray.
By the river, when it outfalls, you don't have to be questioned.
No, I would not be questioned. No. We're not going to have time. We're for sure not going to have time. Okay, I'm going to go through. It's okay, I'm happy to talk, but I'm happy that you should talk. I mean, but okay, I'm going to quickly then go through five shilohs that there are. And these five shilohs, the point is not, I'm not trying to tell you that you should know the answer to the shayla. I'm telling you is, the point is that hashkachas, reputable hashkachas, take different positions on these, and in their field they're good about disclosure. So they may mark on something if they were made according to one of these opinions, but you should just be aware of them when you'll see these Hebrew words on there, what they're talking about. Right next to hashkachas, going to say some kind of little Hebrew words there, what they're trying to tell you when they say this. Okay, the first is, there's a question about where the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is. Okay? According to this simple understanding, the southern border goes, give or take, from the bottom of the Yam HaMelech, in a straight line across, give or take, to a place called Wadi El-Arish, basically a line across the bottom there. Okay? Eretz Yisrael goes, the political borders of Israel go about another 50, 60 miles below that, down to Eilat. Okay? For the first, 40 miles of that is called the Northern Arava, that's what it's called. There's a big to-do whether that is or is not part of the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, past what's the 30th latitude or longitude, whichever one it is for sure not Eretz Yisrael. Like, Eilat, you keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay, but in those 40 miles here, what's called the Northern Arava, there are produce that grows there. It's a question whether that is or is not considered Eretz Yisrael. Most of the reputable hashkachas consider a machmir that it is part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but not everybody does. Okay, some people do not consider that to be part of Eretz Yisrael. That's probably the more correct opinion. But with machmir, to assume that other parts are. The next is, Eretz Yisrael is a big, very advanced in their technology of growing produce in greenhouses. Okay, big parts of Eretz Yisrael are desert. Okay, they wouldn't be able to grow regular produce like we grow here in Illinois. So they grow things in greenhouses. And if done correctly, according to some opinions, you don't have the din of Shemitah. So you could be growing things in Eretz Yisrael, but since it's growing in a greenhouse, separated from the ground, in Hebrew we call that a matzah minutak. Okay, it's a bed that's lifted off the ground. And there's all kinds of shittas. There's a whole slew of shittas of how to get it right, or if you could do it right. But there are lots of people who will grow produce in greenhouses and consider it to be not Shemitah produce.
So it's almost like a sex fake in that, a lot of, at least I remember when I lived there, a lot of these hydroponic farms are in that southern portion of the Arava. So it's a question of it's in Eretz Yisrael.
Interesting. Okay.
It's also grown hydroponic.
You know, I don't know the statistics of that, but there could be that true. There's something to talk about that. But again, there's different cheetahs about if you could do it and how you should do it. And a lot, they'll have produce will be marked matzah minutak. If we had flies, I would show you pictures of them. Even in the fruit store, it'll say matzah minutak to let you know what you're getting. Okay. The third is, what happens if produce is grown in Eretz Yisrael on a field that belongs to someone who's not Jewish? Okay? So that produce, one thing for sure everyone agrees to is there's no iser svichin on that. Remember I told you all vegetables are usher svichin, they're not svichin. So cucumbers grown in an Arab village, those cucumbers are not svichin. You're allowed to eat them. But they may still be shmita produce, okay, which we'll find out soon. You have to treat them with kedusha shvias. So there's a machlokes about that. The machlokes is between the Beis Yosef and the Mapit, so it's like 400 or 500 years old, this machlokes. And the Beis Yosef, most of Eretz Yisrael assumes that it does not have Kedusha Shvi'as. So they buy from an Arab farm, it's called Yavul Nachri, okay, produce of non-Jews. Yavul Nachri, most assume that it does not have Kedusha Shvi'as to it. The Chazon Ish was Machmir on the Mapit, and he held that it does have Kedusha Shvi'as, so Bnei Brak, and those who want to follow him, will eat the produce, because it's not Svichim, but don't treat with Kedusha Shvi'as. Okay?
The Hetem Chira
is the next step. But the Yavul Nachri is a prerequisite to Hetem Chira. You can't have Hetem Chira if you don't have Yavul, if you don't make like Yavul Nachri. That's correct. It's a prerequisite to Hetem Chira. Okay, so if you go to Yerushalayim and you buy produce, you might treat it like a plain old cucumber, but someone from Bnei Brak would not. Okay? They would treat it like with Kedusha Shvi'as. Okay, now the next thing is the Hetem Mechira. Again, Yavul Nachri was the step to get the Hetem Mechira. As you know, there's a big to-do as to whether the Hetem Mechira should. But what the Hetem Mechira is that they sell the land of Eretz Yisrael. People sell their farms. Now it belongs to a non-Jew. If it belongs to a non-Jew, then Shemitah shouldn't apply. Okay, Shemitah should potentially not apply to that land.
That happens every Shemitah, basically. Each Shemitah. People sell to God and they would.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's correct. Yeah. So it's like, just like, they saved it, it's the same thing you do. Before Pesach, you come to the rabbi and say, I want to sell my chametz. Before Shemitah, you come to the rabbi and say, I want to sell my field. And he arranges for the field to be sold. And come back next year, he buys back for you. Okay? So there's two, time-wise, I'm just going to be quick. There's two main issues about whether the mechir is good or not. Okay? Two main halachic issues as to whether it's good or not. One is, there's an issa called loy sechanim. Loy sechanim means is you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to someone who's not Jewish. Okay, loy sitechem chaniya b'karka. You're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to someone who's not Jewish. Now, that in itself would be, so to speak, the rabbanut's problem. The rabbi does the mechira, maybe over on the isser of loy sechanim. He would be selling the land. I'm not selling the land. He's selling it. I just ask the rabbi to do me a favor and do it for me. But the question is, the rabbi has to sell it as my shliach. He sells it. I appoint him. Say, please sell my land to this person who's not Jewish. That may be considered shliach advar vera, and it may be that when we say ain shliach advar vera, the sale doesn't go through either. That's a question. That's not clear. That's not for sure. Yet. So if all those pieces went through, is if there's an isser v'sechanim, and he's my shliach to sell the land, then it's ain shliach advar vera.
So the way around that is to sell to the rabbi.
To sell, you, well, right. If you want the rabbi to burn for being over on l'sechanim. Right. Now they have come up with ways.
Well, Eli, we never sold to you. I'm just laying.
Right. Because you live in Chicago, you know, but you're okay. But so if we,
I own 2 feet in there. It's a throw on the field.
Okay.
You can't go on my 2 feet.
So you should know that there were people who came up with ideas of how to avoid the l'sechanim. I'll tell you in 1 second what they ran into. Because they ran into the second problem. The second halachic issue with Hetem Mechira is there Gemir Stas? Gemir Stas means is that when people have a transaction, both people have to want to do the transaction. Okay? Like let's say there's a Kenyan called Hagbah. Okay? So if I'm sleeping and someone puts my hand up, that's not a Kenyan. Because I had no interest in doing the Kenyan. Just because I did the physical act doesn't mean anything. So the question is, do the people really mean it? Do they mean to make this mechira when they're selling the land? So on the one hand, we have a rule that says is if you go through an act and you do something, the fact that in your mind you're not sincere, that doesn't mean anything. Dvarim shablayim and dvarim. The fact that I didn't mean it doesn't mean anything. I did it. If I signed the papers and I made the transaction, then it works. On the other hand, we have another rule, which is when there's something that's a complete farce, it's obvious to everybody that you don't mean it, not just because you happen to be thinking that in your head. It's obvious to everybody that you don't mean it, then that doesn't work. Then the kinyan doesn't happen. Okay, so the question here is this dvarim shablayim, that it's just in my mind, but I'm doing all the acts so it's considered a kinyan, or we say, no, it's obvious that nobody means it. Okay, so now. So the difference in the Mechiras Chametz is that you don't want to own Chametz. If the guy comes along and says, you know what, you have your box of Cheerios, here's $3 and I'll take your Cheerios. If you don't, I don't care, give me the money that it's worth, I'll go buy another box. It doesn't bother you, and you actually don't want to own Chametz on Pesach. As opposed to the farmer, this farmer Doesn't want to give up his field. He hasn't been. First of all, it depends on if that's really happening. If you really need it, a lot of farmers wouldn't give up. And also, a lot of these people aren't even trying to shop. They don't have anything. They can't let it. They want to sell the cover. Yes. Okay. Reg. So let me just tell you. Last Shemitah and the one before him. I don't know what happened this year. Last Shemitah and the one before him, they had this great idea. They said, we're going to solve the first problem of Lois Sechonim. And the way they're going to solve it was through, technically in Eretz Yisrael, all the land belongs to the government, and they just give people leases on their land. No one actually owns their land that they have. Okay? They give people 99-year leases on their land. So the people said, it's a socialist country, yes.
Is that true?
It's not true. Yes.
Not everywhere.
It's a lot of land.
It's true in a lot of lands that are leaseholds. There's a huge portion of the land that are owned by people.
Okay, it could be. It's my understanding that the vast majority of Eretz Yisrael belongs to the country.
That's true. A lot of land, a lot of fields, and a lot of farms are privately owned.
Okay.
Maybe in Shawaii, half the lands are owned by the church and leaseholds, but there are things that are owned by individuals.
Okay, so what they did was...
What?
So
what they circumvent it's a major legal.
So what they did was
foundation.
So what they did was the people said is instead of selling our fields for Shemitah, we'll give back our leases to the government. There's no loss of hunting to that, give lease back, and then the government could sell without shlichus. The government is Jewish. Then they could do the mechira without shlichus. Okay, without shlichus they could do it. The problem was, so from the Lois Sechonim Shlichus angle, they made that was an improvement, because there was no Shlichus over here. But from the Gemara Stas, they made it horribly worse. Because to think that the government of Israel is going to sell 80% of the land to somebody who's not Jewish, that's so obvious. It's not a bunch of people selling the little farms that maybe you could say maybe they really mean it. But the government representative sits down and says, yes, I'd like to sell you all the land of Israel for 80 trillion shekel. You can have the whole thing. We'll walk back to Brooklyn. It's not going to be. You know what I mean? It's not. So that makes that part worse. Okay, anyhow, the last thing is, Shiloh, so back to the structure we were saying is that people who rely on the Hetta Mechira, that a Hechsher that would rely on that would be saying the food is kosher, while if you don't agree with the Hetta Mechira, then you'll say then it's not. Okay, now, in this sense, the Hashgachas that you would probably eat from, all the national American Hashgachas and the reputable Israeli ones do not follow the Hetta Mechira, but there are other Hashgachas that do. So again, you may be getting something that the person is saying, I give Hashgacha on this food as being kosher, but it doesn't meet that standard. The last thing is like this. To get that, I have to explain to you something, which is there's something called Oitzer Bezdin. Okay? Oitzer Bezdin, everyone agrees to. Yeah, I believe. Oitzer Bezdin means it's like this. If I have a field that, and on that my field I grow grapefruits, so it's Shemitah, it's Hefker. Anybody can come take any grapefruit they want to. So that's really nice. Where do I want to get one? But my field is out in the middle of no place. So how is anybody going to take advantage of these grapefruits that are sitting on the field? So what we do is, the community, it's not a requirement at all. But people want to be able to get them, so the community gets together and assigns somebody and says, you go down to the field, get a truck, get all the grapefruits and bring them to town so we can all eat them. Okay? So an individual can't do that. An individual can't harvest all the grapefruits. It's part of Kedusha Shiur. You can't just do that. But the community can appoint someone and send him down and say, you be responsible, get us all the grapefruits, bring them to town and we'll eat them. Okay? That's what let's do. It's called the Eitzer Bezdin. The Bezdin, in the community, appoint someone to do that. Okay? So as a sort of an aside to what we want to talk about, that's a way that farmers during Shemitah earn some money, which is this farmer who keeps Shemitah, Bezdin appoints that farmer to do this kind of work. They say, you know how to take care of your field, Benya. You harvest. You're allowed to pay for that. You're not allowed to pay for the fruit, but you're allowed to pay for the labor. You're allowed to pay for the bags that he's going to put it into, the boxes. Imagine, and the delivery, and the all the trucking, all the work that he does. So he gets paid for that work. That's a side thing. That's a way that money comes to farmers.
What happens with that produce?
Now the produce comes to town, and the produce you have to pay them for the amount that the Bezdin, the community, spent to get it brought into town.
The price of the food.
But you don't pay for the fruit. Now that fruit has kedusha shvius.
So how does it work for all the wineries? That's what they do. That's your business. So what do they do? The winery itself, they have their farms. So they're the representatives. So they're buying it from Bezdin back.
They don't. No, Bezdin appoints them to do the work,
right.
And Bezdin says, "We want you to turn it into wine. We don't have to make wine. You can imagine the Bezdin making wine. They don't know what they're doing. So they say, you guys make wine out of it, put it into bottles, and when it's all ready, we'll pay you per bottle, pay you $3 a bottle for your wine, because it's paid for the bottle and for your labor and like that."
So we're buying the bottles here in our control, but I'm just who are we paying it?
You're paying to Bezdin. Bezdin goes to Superlanta. We want you to sell it. We'll give you $3, you sell it to the next guy for $3.50. So that's all that money is going paying the bills to get the wine to the store.
Essentially, all the wines being sold under Israel are non-profits. Bezdin makes money off it to help us, whatever they want to do with the money.
They're supposed to be non-profit. But the person who's making money is supposed to be the farmer, the person who represents Bezdin appointed. He's being paid by the hour to do his job. So
is the hourly fee they're paying him basically the same amount he's making before?
So that's a separate question, not for today. But often it ends up being similar, but that it shouldn't be. In theory, it shouldn't. Okay. We're running over time. So anyhow, there's a way, I have to just say this last part. There's a way that there's something called Zriya Mukdemet. Okay, Zriya Mukdemet means early planting, which is, there's a machlokes about this, but the Chazanish holds that if you plant something, if you plant vegetables before Shemitah, and they grow during Shemitah, if they plant them at all before Shemitah, and they are harvested during Shemitah, they are not considered tzvichin. They have kedushah shvius because they were harvested during Shemitah, but they're not considered tzvichin. So the farmer plants his tomatoes a few days before Rosh Hashanah, those get harvested, or the man would plant potatoes. For months after Shemitah, he could be harvesting potatoes that were planted right before Shemitah. So those, they have Kedusha Shemitah, they would be sold through an Urtz Bezin, but they're not Tzlichen. There's an odd breed we have over here. Vegetables, I told you, all vegetables are usher because they're Tzlichen, they're harvested during Shemitah. So these are vegetables that are harvested during Shemitah, and they're considered Shemitah produce, but they're not considered Tzlichen. So you're allowed to eat them. So if you hold of Zerim Mukdemet, which the Chazanish did hold of it, then it's this produce, you can eat it, you have to eat it with Kedusha Shvius. All the people have, no, this is Svichin, you now eat it all together. Okay? So this is a kula to say Zerim Mukdemet is Mutter. Okay?
Chazanish is the only
kula
in his entire life.
No, it's not true. Actually, Chazanish has three very big kulas about Shvius. But, okay. So I would take all this more time. I'm just trying... crushed. Okay, so what I want to show you now is what does it mean that produce has kedusha shvius? Okay, through one of these different ways that I mentioned to you, you end up with something that's kedusha shvius. Okay, you end up with something that has, usually it would be a fruit, that's why I brought fruits with me, you end up with something that has kedusha shvius. So I just want to go briefly through some of the things that would be relevant to know what you should do with this thing that has kedusha shvius, to understand what it means. Okay, so the first thing is like this. You have to use shmita produce for the proper use, the best, or typical good way of using the produce. Okay, so I'm going to first do a lemon. Okay, people eat lemons, but almost nobody eats lemons straight. People don't bite into lemons unless they're doing it because they're sick. Okay, wow. They can eat lemons.
It's about tequila.
Okay, but people don't eat it straight. So if a person were to eat it straight, that would be considered wasteful. That's not the right way to use a lemon. Okay? But if you want to squeeze lemon into your drink, that's okay. That's what people do with lemons. You want to make lemonade, that's okay. Okay? In contrast to if you have carrots, okay, people eat carrots, almost nobody juices carrots. Therefore...
That's not true nowadays.
Okay.
It's a very...
Okay, I'm sorry. So in my...
We don't care about them because they're a bunch of liberals.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying.
Gosh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Peaches. Most people don't juice peaches. Okay, they do. Okay, so
potato juice.
So. Oh my gosh.
Vodka. It's called potato vodka.
So a person has to use it for the best use. Okay. So now, you're not. You're not allowed to waste the produce. So it means it's like this. So if I cut slices of a lemon, I don't have to eat the lemon. Okay, you don't have to eat the Shemitah produce. But if I cut this piece and I said, you know, I'm eating this one, but this piece is going, this is not fair. I don't need this one. Okay, I can't throw it out. Okay? I can't waste it. That's considered wasteful to throw out the rest of this part of the orange. Of the lemon. Okay, but that thing that says that you can't waste it is only something that some people would save. Okay, nobody saves the liquid that's on the knife. Okay, there is anybody who's so frugal that they save the liquid off their knife. Okay, everybody pours that in the garbage. Okay, and therefore you're not mechuyev to save that. Okay, so when you make havdalah on shemitah wine, you're not allowed to pour it out over the edge, let it spill into the cup. You're not allowed to put your candle out into that wine because that's considered wasteful. But if you drink from the cup, if there's a few drops left, nobody puts that back into the bottle. Some, if there's a few ounces, some people put that back. But if there's a few drops, nobody puts that back. You can spill that out. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. Now, a question.
In the example of overflowing your place for Abdullah, most people don't. That's considered wasteful.
It's well, but if you just overflow it and you just pour, now you're pouring. What are you going to do with it? You have to fill it
with.
So no, but that's an amount. But you're right. You're true that no, but it's an amount of it's an amount of wine that somebody would save. An ounce or two of the wine, somebody would, there are people who would pour that, would keep an ounce or two, so you have to keep it.
Before Havdalah, everybody's knighting to throw that in the garbage.
Okay. The interesting question. Okay, I'll have to think about that one. I'll think about that. But putting it in your pocket, you can't do that thing. That thing doesn't work. No. Right. Because you're wasting it.
But even though that's not the tariff of people using it.
Wait a second. How many of all the bottles of wine in the store, how many of them end up in people's pockets? Right? That's not what people do with wine. No, it's just in the pockets.
I don't think
that goes. Okay. Now. Okay, now. I took the lemon and I squeeze it into my drink, whatever your favorite drink is, okay? I put it into my drink. And now, I'm not going to do this for you. I don't have a cup here, but I pour it into my drink, and now I'm left with the rind behind, okay? So, what do I do with that? So, the first thing is, when you deal with a lemon, lemon rind actually has a food use. People use it for food use. They make food out of it. Correct. So, therefore, you would not be able to throw that out because it still has a food use.
Just eating meat there, so that's it.
Now, but what happens if you have? Okay, what happens? Okay, so okay, I'm not throwing out the peel because the peel I could still use as food. What about the pits inside of my lemon? Okay, nobody does anything with the pits inside the lemon. Well, that's what you say. But the truth is what? Well, replanting would, if just because you use it for planting wouldn't mean it has caduceus fees. You wouldn't have to, but it's animal food. So the thing is like this. If something is food for animals, the din says something that's food for animals, it has kedusha shviyas, because anything that's fit for humans or for animals, okay, lehemta for chayah shabbat, I forgot the puzzle, you get, but the shaila is like this. That din was said for people who live in agricultural society. And they had animals to feed it to. So when they had leftovers at the end of the meal, they put it outside and the horses ate it. Okay, what am I going to do with pits? Okay, who will eat my pits? There isn't any animals. There aren't any animals around who I can feed my pits to. Okay, so that's a shiloh whether the din is the same. When nowadays there's nothing for me to do with those pits. Those are not animal food. In theory, they're animal food, but living where I do, that's not animal food. There's nothing realistic that I can do with that. Okay, so that's a shiloh whether those two don't have to do shvias. Okay, I'm going to skip that because I'm over time already, and. Now that so we figured out that there's something left over, let's say the rind, or just this piece like this that I decided not to eat, okay, or from the apple, had I peeled it, I was going to talk about different shilohs, about apples, about what the kedusha shviyas for apples might be, how to treat them properly, but I have leftovers, and I'm not eating them, I can't throw them out. So what do you do? So there's two ways to deal with it. There's the traditional way to do with it, and then there's the modern way to deal with it, okay? And you tell me what you think makes more sense. Okay, traditionally, what people did was, They wrapped it up and put it in the garbage. And the point was that when they wrapped it up, you can't just put it straight into the garbage because that's not treating it properly. You're putting it together with all kinds of other junk in there. So wrapping it up was a way of treating it more respectfully and putting it into the garbage. Now, in the garbage, it's going to get crushed up and mixed. But that's considered a grumma. I'm okay. I'm allowed to do that. So I would put it into a bag, put it into the garbage, and that would be the end of it. That was the traditional way that people dealt with the leftovers from Shemitah. It's not just an almond. I mean, you could have a salad, and you have some pieces left at the end, and that's going to be put into a bag, put in the garbage. Cable people said, you know what? No, I don't want to make a grum either. I don't want to treat it so nicely. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to have what's called a pach shvias. Okay? A pach, in English, we call it a garbage can. Okay? But, so it's a container, and I put my shvita produce into it. And I say, and I leave it there, and when it gets rotted to the point that even animals won't eat it, then I say, no problem, now I can throw it out, because now it has no kedusha shvias. But the problem is like this. No, I'm not to my compost. No, we are way before that. The problem is like this. Okay, so today you guys had some salad, he has some salad left on his plate, he puts it under his thing and it sits there. Okay, comes tomorrow morning, and he has another salad. Well, he can't put that into there because, hey, it doesn't sit well with it, and that's like half spoiled already. So it wouldn't be proper to the Shemitah produce put into there. So he makes, that's the Thursday one, and he makes a Friday one. Now comes Shabbos, he has some leftover from his chalom. Well, chalom and salad don't go together, so he has a third one. So by the end of the week, he's got a whole lineup before the first one goes bad. He's got to throw it out. Okay, so it's a pach.
It's bad if it's good, it's good. If I have a second salad, either I can throw it into that one or I can take that one from the garbage.
So you're right. But first of all, it's starting to go. And some of his food don't mix with each other. Chong and salad don't go together. So it's not proper to the chong to mix it with the salad. So what happens? So then people say, okay, so we'll just put like a layer of material. Like they put like a piece of a foil in between, like, you know, layer it up of all the different things. But so there are a lot of people who try to do that, and there are a lot of other people who just keep with the traditional way of doing it, which was like, this eitzim isn't really so practical for most people. But you'll probably see both. Okay. I think
composting in general?
Well, composting is not, inherently composting is not proper for Shemitah produce, because that's a waste. If this is food, if this is edible now, and I use it for fertilizer, I'm not using it for the proper use. The use it has is for food, or for humans or animals to eat it. So to use it for composting is not the way I'm supposed to do it. If once it's spoiled, I do whatever I want to. But while it's still usable for people, I can't compost it. That would be a waste for it. That would be not using it properly.
Pach shvias would not be an issue with a mirror dining room. So every meal, they can fill up the whole thing, and they tie it up, and they're done, right?
But, well, if they had the Shemitah produce, yes, they could just throw the whole thing
that's
and get rid of it.
They do. They have the right pastures.
Okay.
But I'm saying, because they have enough volume that they can tie up one bag per meal, they don't have the issue of different meals.
Well, you should, wait a second. Tie it up is the old way of doing it, which is put it out in a bag.
But if you
want to wait for it to rot, that means if every meal they have a whole garbage can full of all their stuff waiting to rot. That's going to be quite a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? That, they have three meals a day, and they do lots of stuff there, you know? Okay. So, I'll take questions if you want to. Anybody have any questions? We can go home also. Okay, fine.
So how far does this go? Meaning, if you have... that's a loaded question. You know, like, you have to be careful about orange juice.
What about orange juice?
Meaning, if the orange is... If it's oranges, what's that brand?
Try Canada next year.
Of course, you have to be concerned. That's from Shemitah.
How far does it go?
So the juice is a use of the food. It has kedusha shvias. So if it comes from a Shemitah orange, either it's Shemitah orange, which would be a Shemitah orange, and you have to treat it like with kedusha shvias. You could drink it. You just have to not waste it and not discard it, etc.
If it has a reputable hashkocha.
Let me say something. A reputable hashkocha will not. They can't actually, but they won't sell you something that's kedusha shvias to a consumer who doesn't know what to do with it. They won't give it to you and just say, "Here, go eat, take care of it," and you don't know what you're supposed to do with it. So they put out a market and they think this has kedusha shvias, the people who know what to do with it. But a national brand is not
going to tell them not from an orange juice.
Okay, orange juice sold like a supermarket. I can't believe would have kedusha shvias. They sell oranges in the store, right. Figuring, and people who walk here who know what to do and will buy
the shvias. We'll oversee the Travel Canada orange supply next year.
Yes, they would not let
you are not allowed vending oranges from Arizona.
Correct, that's correct. Because if they were, the Jewish people and not Jewish people won't do this. That wouldn't be very responsible.
Yes,
if it's a reputable hashgacha, then
I guess the second question, how does this apply to, let's say, you know, you're using the example of lemon, like you use that for fragrances, you use that for soap. How does it apply in that?
So that's a good question. I'm trying to remember if you're allowed to use it for soap. I don't believe you are. I don't remember. But the, each of the uses, you have to think through and say, there's a few criteria. One is if it's for human use, and it is. The other question is called some hanason ruin shava. Do you get the benefit from it at the same time that you destroy it? So maybe your soap, you could be, I don't remember.
I mean, lots of produce are very specifically meant for other uses.
If you want to way around that, be like, for example, give it to
ethanol resin, one of the main
shows it's well.
The whole thing is that it would not be so.
Kids eating.
That's what I don't think about it. I have to think about that. Okay.
So it's not like very bad for that.